I want to make a couple comments in relation to the Sunday school lesson. One of the things that I think that we tend to do is we think about the physical, obviously. And as we do that, we tend to think of things like faith, things like thankfulness, all of those things in a physical realm. And Jesus, in our lesson today, I think is trying to draw us deeper and higher. So, you know, what Jesus tells us is that out of the heart is where things come from. What we say, what we do, what we are comes out of our heart. And he's trying to get the disciples there in our lesson to recognize that our heart needs to be toward Jesus, focused on him, in order for faith to happen and be expressed, in order for thankfulness to happen and be expressed. And he uses an example there that I find fascinating, because you have 10 guys, likely Samaritans, he was in Samaria, that were lepers, and he healed them. And the thing they were supposed to do was go show themselves to the priest, which could cast a question on whether they were Samaritans or not, but they were to go show themselves to the priest to be examined whether they were healed or not. And 9 of them went. I'm sure their hearts were thankful, but one returned and worshiped and gave thanks. And I find something really significant. Jesus said that 9 were healed, but he said, you're going to be made whole. And I like to think of it this way. Because of what was going on in his heart, he experienced a blessing that the rest didn't. Theirs was more on the physical level. Oh, I'm healed. Wow, thanks. Where his was from his heart. And Jesus gave him a special blessing. And I like to think of it like this. The others probably were missing parts of their fingers or toes or whatever because of their leprosy. And when they went to the priest and he examined them, their leprosy was gone. But the parts that they were missing were still gone. And this guy was made whole. I think his skin looked like a baby's skin, and his fingers and all his parts were restored. You may not see it that way, but I think that's an interesting thing to think of. All right, this morning I want to think about... I want to think about something. I don't particularly have a title as such, but I want us to think about the fact that God made us relational. He made us in His image. And in His image is not about the physical. It's about much more than that. So I want us to think about this. And this gets really practical today. And so I want us to understand something. The first key to successful relationships is a proper understanding of what our relational needs are. If we don't understand that, we're not going to make moves in the right direction. The second part of that is then we apply that to others. And I'll be right up front. I'm not sharing this because I have all the answers. Oh, thank you, Dalton. I forgot to say something. I didn't see you waving back there. I was thinking about other things, sorry. But thank you for doing that. So the second key is how we apply this to others. So I'm not sharing these things this morning from a place of, I know how to do this and you don't. You need to learn. I'm learning this as well. And this is actually the third time that I'm using this basic outline and sharing a message from it. So I think maybe the Lord is trying to say something to my heart. Now, one of the things that I want us to understand and think about is relationships. The idea of relationships suggests difficulty. Think about that. The idea of relationships suggests the possibility, at least, of difficulty. So Jesus told his disciples, he says, be of good cheer. In this world, you're going to have difficulties. You're going to have troubles. It's a fact. It's not an option. You will have. Don't be surprised. Don't get all upset. It's there. But be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. So part of what we experience relationally in this world is difficulties. And if you look at Genesis chapter 3, where the curse is pronounced, one of the things that the curse includes is the fact that a woman is going to try to control her husband. A fact. It's a fact. It's a relational difficulty that is going to be. So we have to be aware of it. So one of the things that we have to understand is relational difficulties, if we're going to deal with them, understand them, overcome them, it's going to have to be through Jesus Christ, the one that overcame the world and gives us hope for the trials and troubles and difficulties that we face. Now, let's ask ourselves some questions. What does it mean to be made in God's image, first of all? And then along with that, as a threefold being, when we talk about threefold, we think of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We are body, soul, spirit. What kind of needs do I have as a threefold being? We automatically, our mind goes to our physical needs, our body needs. And that's just natural. That's what happens with us. But we need to think bigger than that. Because if all we see is our body needs, we miss the biggest part of who we are. Because one of these days, this body's going to be gone. Done. Disappeared. Rotted away. But soul and spirit live on. And so this becomes really important. So why is it so important for us to understand our parts and understand our needs and all of that thing as it relates to other people in relationships and so on? It's important for us to understand all of that. And then what can we learn from the way God speaks to our emotional, our relational needs? And I won't get to that until the end of the message, but it's actually where we need to start. So I want us to just kind of keep this thought in the back of our mind that God actually deals with our relational needs in a special way. Now, how do these relational needs relate specifically to the body of Christ? Galatians 6 verse 10 tells us that we're especially supposed to deal these good things, love, kindness, all this kind of stuff. We're especially to deal that out to the household of faith. Now, Who is the household of faith? All believers, right? He's not just talking about right here. He's talking about all believers. We need to have this in relation to the household of faith. So let's dig into this. Now, I already said we are three parts. We know that. Body, soul, spirit. And it's interesting, in Thessalonians, Paul comes along and he says, I really wish your health would prosper the way your body, soul, spirit prospers. Interesting. If your physical health was a display of your spirit and soul, what would your health look like? And I'm not implying that that's a reality. I'm asking. So first of all, in the human experience, we have a need to be accepted. That is a basic need that we have as human beings. The need to be accepted. In our soul, we have the need to be understood. And in our spirit, we have the need for care. Now, I want to unpack this a little bit, and I want us to think about some of these things and how they relate to us. So, this idea of acceptance, I read a book a while back about a couple guys that decided to go homeless for a while. They came from well-to-do families, but they decided to go and see what it's like to live homeless. You know what their biggest thing was that they noticed and missed? People wouldn't make eye contact with them. As soon as people saw them, they'd turn away. They would not make eye contact. They were not accepting of them. They didn't smile at them. They felt rejection everywhere they went. That's not a good thing. So, just something to check ourselves on. We need to recognize that every human being is made in the image of God. No matter how disgusting they are, no matter where they're at, we need to recognize that. And we need to live out of that. When we see someone homeless or whatever they are, they deserve a smile, an eye contact, a recognition that they are a human being. They deserve that. Why? Because they're so doing so well? No, because they're made in the image of God. Why do you deserve it? If you think it's because you're doing so well, you went off the track already. You know what God repeatedly told the children of Israel? The reason you are blessed is not because of who you are. It's not because of who you are. It's not because you're so good. It's not because you're such an awesome person. It's because I chose you. And I made you. That's why you have the right to my blessing. Rejection is one of the most devastating of human experiences. Rejection. You're disgusting. You're worthless. Are words that no human being should ever hear. Ever. Rejection is not from the heart of God. Rejection smacks of pride. Remember the Pharisee and the publican? What did the Pharisee pray I thank you, God, that I'm not like other men or even like this publican. He said it out loud. He's in front of the publican. He rejected him. Why? Pride. He thought he was somebody. You know what? They both were made in the image of God. In fact, God rewarded him in kind. He rejected his prayer because he had chosen rejection. When we reject another human being, we're actually rejecting the Creator. Their Creator, our Creator. Keep that in mind. Now, acceptance is so important. It's something that I, as a young person growing up, worshiped at the idol of acceptance. A lot of what I did was for the purpose of acceptance. And I did some pretty stupid stuff. We were swimming one time, and I could barely keep myself floating, doggy paddling. And everybody was diving off the diving board. So in order to be accepted, I dove off the diving board. I swallowed a little water, and I almost panicked, but I managed to keep my head together and made it back to the dock. That wasn't the only time that I did something stupid in order to be accepted. I'm not going to ask you this morning, but I'm guessing that a lot of us have done a lot of things that we've regretted because we were trying to be accepted. I know people today, older than I am, that are still in their mind, they are seeking the acceptance of their father. They're seeking the acceptance of others. And we'll talk about that kind of stuff some more. Okay, our soul needs to be understood. And what that means is we need... Let me just back up and say one thing. When we accept someone, we accept them without judgment. I want you to understand, I'm not saying they're not doing anything wrong. I'm not saying they're not doing anything stupid. I'm not saying any of that, but I want us to think about this, that we need to be able to try to comprehend what's going on in their life. People do what they do because of what they feel. So what are they feeling that's causing them to do what they're doing? So we need to validate their existence. Secondly, we need to understand them. This is the idea that, you know what? They're doing what they're doing because of something. I may not understand what they're feeling. I may not understand what they're doing. You know, if I take a worker into a bar and grill and he's been an alcoholic and he's been free for a while, but he's sitting there and he's looking at all the liquor bottles while we're waiting for our food and his hands start shaking, I may not understand that because I've never dealt with it. But I need to try to understand what's going on with him. There's something that he's feeling inside that I'm not feeling. Does it invalidate what he feels? No. It's real. And another place a lot of you come in contact with this, with dementia. You know why dementia patients do what they do? Because of what they're feeling. In their mind, what they're doing, what they're thinking is reality. They're not out there trying to be difficult. They're not trying to make life miserable for other people. They're living in what they feel and what they know. And you and I, if we're going to be helpful to them, we need to understand them. Emily could probably talk to us a lot about this. It happens a lot. So one of the things we need to understand is understanding people is not agreement. It's not agreement. We're not, just because we make an effort to understand someone is not saying we think exactly the same. We're trying to understand what they decided in their own mind is real. And so we're trying to get into their world to see their viewpoint. We're not agreeing, we're seeing. We're trying to understand. Every human being has that need in your soul. Every one of us. And then in our spirit, we need care. We have a saying that people want to know how much you care before they care how much you know. People want to know how much you care. Do you care? If you don't care, don't bother me. I'm not interested in sharing what's going on deep down inside of me if you don't care. If you don't honestly care. And I've had people already that have tried to get information from me, from my life, from whatever. And in my heart, I didn't feel like they cared for me or cared about the situation. And I wasn't interested in giving them any information. Caring is so important. It's a basic need that we have. When we have a basic understanding that God cares about me and about every human being, He cares about His creation. When we have that understanding, it changes everything about how we live. All right, let's make this practical. So, with a child, what are we going to do with the physical? As children, we want to be accepted by our parents. There's something that's being brought out more and more in our world today that I had no knowledge of as a young parent. It is vitally important that you speak acceptance over the child that's in the mother's womb as parents. That child at conception begins to sense acceptance or rejection. Now, I'll just make this really practical. This is a true story. A friend of mine, his name's Scott, had a 7-year-old son. When his son sat beside his dad, he would not snuggle up to his dad. He sat like a board. He wouldn't get close. He wouldn't get cozy. And as they began to try to deal with this, they remembered that when the mom got pregnant, they had a very young child at the time. And the mom made this statement when she began to think maybe she was pregnant. She told the dad, "If I'm pregnant, I'm going to be mad at you." They accepted the fact that she was pregnant. They had the baby. They loved the baby. But at 7 years old, he would not snuggle to his dad. They prayed through that. Prayed off those things of rejection. And the dad went to his son And he asked him, "Did you ever feel like you were not accepted?" And the son burst into tears, bawled and bawled. His dad apologized to him, asking him to forgive him. The next evening when they sat down for family devotions, the boy leaned over, laid his head on his dad's chest. True story. Why? What happened? There was something that he felt inside that had been expressed physically of rejection over him. We need to be accepted as children. We bought into a lie that somehow if we give our children praise, if we just heap praise on them, we're going to mess them up. That's a lie. It's exactly the opposite. Children that are not praised are going to be messed up. I could go into a lot of things here. The truth is, we need affirmation and encouragement, especially as a child trying to understand life. I'm sure you remember Aesop's fable of the North Wind and the Sun. The North Wind and the Sun were having an argument. There was a man walking along, and he was pulling his coat tight around him. And the North Wind said to the Sun, "I bet I can make him take his coat off." And the Sun said, "No, I think I can make him take his coat off quicker than you." And so the North Wind began to blow and blow and blow. Well, you know what happened. The man pulled his coat tighter and tighter. And the Sun said, "Okay, it's my turn." And he began to shine and shine and shine, and the man began to take off his coat. That's a story that was made up, but it proves the point. Acceptance, the warmth of love and acceptance is going to cause a heart to open way faster and way more often than the bitter wind of rejection. As children, we want to be understood by our parents and by those in authority. We want to know, children want to know that they are cared for. You and I, as parents, have this responsibility to have our children know that we accept them. Don't make fun of something about their appearance. Don't make them think that because they do things a certain way, they're not okay. I know a man, he's older than I am. For most of his life, he honestly believed he was stupid because his dad told him that over and over and over and over. Because he couldn't do the same kind of things his brother could do. And so he went to school, he got his master's degree, and he was convinced in his mind that they were going to show up one day and tell him, "Give me the degree back. You're stupid. You didn't earn the degree." He honestly was convinced of that. And he got his PhD. And the same thing happened. He was convinced that he was stupid and he did not deserve that degree. And that one day somebody was going to show up and say, "No, you give the degree back. You're stupid." We as parents are responsible to make our children feel accepted, understood, and cared for. On the note papers, I asked this question. Do you feel understood? Do you feel accepted? Do you feel cared for? And I would like, whether your children fill this out or not, I would like to challenge you as parents. Just sit down with them and be honest. Let them tell you how they feel. And if they feel like they're not understood and not accepted, not cared for, just don't try to defend yourself. Don't try to explain. Just say, I'm sorry. Just that simple. Just say, I'm sorry. I want you to feel understood. I want you to feel loved. I want you to feel cared for and accepted. And I think if you take the time and the effort to do that, and maybe because of the hurts and pain in your childhood, that becomes very difficult. But if it is, just get somebody to help you with it. Because it'll make such a huge difference. Such a huge difference. Oh, God help us. All right. In our friendships, in society, you know, we talk about our job, whatever. Do you feel accepted by those around you? It's something that we have as a human being, a need that we have. Do you feel like those around you are understanding? And a lot of times, even with friends, we can be very misunderstood. And then as we get older, we realize that our group gets smaller and smaller because those that really care are not that many. So we need to think about this, because this is what's going on within us and around us. Let's go on and think about this in church, in the body of Christ. Every one of us as believers want to be accepted by fellow believers. How would you feel? Henry, you were just in a foreign country. How would you feel if you'd go there and you'd start to work and the believers there would come and tell you, get out of here. We don't like you. We don't like what you believe. We don't like what you stand for. We don't appreciate you being here. Leave. Feel pretty bad, wouldn't it? You're there to help them. You want to bless them, and they're not ready to take the blessing. This whole thing has a lot of things that we could get into. I'm not going to take the time this morning, but I just want us to make this, just to stop and think and be aware about this. Every one of, when you go to another church somewhere, do you want people there to accept you as a believer? Let's return the favor. As fellow members of Christ's body, we need to seek to understand each other. You know what? Paul spent a lot of his writings talking about this very thing. He made it pretty clear. We as believers have different abilities. We have different gifts. We have different responsibilities. We have a lot of differences. In fact, in Romans 14, I talked about this not so long ago. In Romans 14, Paul says that we actually can have totally opposite ideas about things. But he says as believers, we need to seek to understand each other. And we need to be accepting. The one that can do this should not look down on the one that doesn't do it. The one that doesn't do it should not judge the one that does it. He's very specific and very plain. And this, the reason we have so many struggles in our church, in churches, in the body of Christ, is because of this very thing. We don't try to understand. You know what we try to do? We try to prove our point. And that can happen in any situation, any relationship. If I'm in this thing and I'm going to prove my point, goodbye relationship. I need to be understanding just as well as I need to be understood. This thing becomes very real, very important. Knowing that we are cared for is basic to the body of Christ. You know why a lot of people leave this church? Because they don't feel understood, accepted, and cared for. That's just reality. And we can do something about that. You know what we usually do? Well, they didn't really like it here anyway. They were on their way out. And on. Something we need to understand. No human relationship will ever meet all my needs. I don't care how glamorous marriage looks when you're not married. Marriage will not meet all your relational needs. Never, ever. It will meet some. It should meet a lot, but it will never meet them all. And so only God, this is something the Lord showed me here a while back. I was thinking, woke up early in the morning, I was laying there thinking and praying, and it just hit me. When you and I look to human relationships to meet our needs, we're in trouble. We have to go to the one that can meet every need that we have. And that gives us a place where we can work out of and meet the needs of those around us. And our focus is not on having my needs met. My focus is on, I've got my needs met in Christ. I'd love to see other people have their needs met too. Now, I said we're going to get to this thing at the end. This whole thing of God and us. How do you see your relationship with God? So, in our parts, we have the same needs. We have the need for acceptance. When I first started looking at this material, I didn't have this part to it. And I do want to give credit to my friend Bill. He put some of this together. And allowed me to use some of his stuff. But I didn't have this part of it. And I was praying, I was asking the Lord, I said, Lord, this seems so obvious. I have body, soul, spirit. And you are three parts. Can you please explain to me how you as Father, Son, Holy Spirit meet the needs that I have? And it was just like, a screen came up or a book opened or whatever. And it was like, yeah, I'll show you. And just like that, scripture popped into my mind. And so Ephesians 1:6 says, we are accepted by God in Christ. Who is? Who is? Hello? We. Who's we? Believers. Absolutely. Whoever is trusting Christ for their salvation is accepted by the Father into the family. everyone. Doesn't matter nationality, it doesn't matter language, it doesn't matter. If we are believers in Christ, if we are in Christ, we are accepted in Him by the Father. That need is met. And one of the most beautiful things is to take Ephesians 1 there and start working through it and say, oh wow, God has chosen me, He's accepted me, He's ordained me, He's adopted me, and just go down through the list there. He's given us everything that heaven has to offer. He's accepted us. The second thing that I want us to notice is that we are understood by our high priest. Hebrews chapter 4 there is talking about this. And he says, we have a high priest that understands us. Totally. We have a high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities because he went through all of it himself and he understands us. I don't know what that does for you. But that just opens up a whole new world to me. You know what? I guarantee you, everyone here, the enemy has come to you at some point when you were struggling with something and he's told you, you're weird. You're the only one that ever struggles with this. Nobody else. Don't tell anybody because you're the only one. Wrong. Liar. Jesus understands every struggle I have. He understands it. So I can go to him and I can talk to him about it. And I can be real with him. I can be honest. I can be open. And he says, yeah, I understand. And he knows what he's talking about. You know, if you go to somebody that's lost a child and you've never lost a child and you tell them you understand, they're like, no, you don't understand. Sorry. And they're right. We don't understand. But Jesus understands everything that we feel, everything that we face. And so our God is meeting our needs in every level. The Holy Spirit is sent to care for us. In John 14, Jesus is telling his disciples, he said, it's important that I go back to heaven. Because when I go back, I'm going to send the caregiver, the comforter, the one that's going to care for you. That's important. And so here we are. We're living 2,000 years after Christ went back. Do you feel cared for today? Maybe you haven't recognized that the Father is working through Holy Spirit to care for you. Maybe you haven't understood that. Maybe you haven't appreciated that. It's a fact. If we are in Christ, we are accepted, we are understood, and we are cared for at levels that we cannot understand on this earth. We'll understand those when we get to the other side, but they're reality now. They are reality. They're reality in heaven. And their reality on earth, whether we feel them or not, their reality, their truth. And we need to learn to take hold of that when you don't feel accepted. Thank you, Father. You have accepted me in Christ. And I can rest. When I don't feel understood, thank you, Jesus. my merciful and faithful high priest. You understand me even when I don't understand myself. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for caring for me. I've never been cared for like you care for me. I'd like you to bow your heads. Just be quiet before the Lord for a few moments. I'd like you to just ask Him, Lord, just show me. Show me what I need to know. Show me what I need to do in this whole area of relationships. Your relationship to me, my relationship to the church, to my family, wherever it might be, just show me, Lord. And I just encourage you to go home and get alone with God and just tell Him, Lord, those needs in my own life for acceptance, for understanding, for care, the hurts, the wounds, the pains that are there, Lord, just show me and come and heal those so that I can be accepting and understanding and caring. A chorus of a song came to my mind just while we were quiet there. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cares for me. Thank you, Father, for caring for us. Thank you for accepting us. Not because we deserved it in any way, but only through the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for understanding us, Lord Jesus. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for caring for us each day. We bless you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.